Acts chapter number 27. Maybe already, if you know, familiar with your Bible, that you know what that whole chapter is about. Thank you, Brother Alquist, Ms. Alquist, and his church for hosting the meeting again and for allowing the camp meeting to be held here. I can't remember how many times I've been to the central part next week. I think at least four, maybe five times, and three over here on this side, third time being here. And so about 7 or 8 years, I've been privileged to be able to be in the southern camp meeting in the north. And these guys, I've been telling all week, these guys are from Georgia, but I'm the only true southerner. They're all from North Georgia. And I think that's what Brother Ollie had said, that I'm about 60 miles north of the Florida line there in Tifton, Georgia. And of course, you couldn't tell that I'm from the South in any way. I'm certain of that. But I actually was born in the great state of Alabama. Amen. And raised in Central Florida and been pastoring in Georgia at this church. I'm in my 30th year there. And we thank the Lord for our church and our people, my wife and three boys and their wives and 14 grandkids. So we're grateful to be here. I appreciate all the men of God that we've been able to be with this week. This is our 20th service this week. Who's keeping count, right? But five days and four of those, and this being the last. And we're just praying and hoping that the runway's open in Buffalo and in the morning early, because that's where some thoughts and feelings are tonight, I promise you, of getting home. But in the meantime, we have this service, and I want to be a help and a blessing. That's all I ever wanted to do. And when we preach, all we preachers feel that way. I didn't finish my thanks sincerely to Brother Foote and Brother Held and Brother Seymour. Again, for all these years heading this up and allowing me to come once again. Brother Donnie Pollard, we've been telling, which is absolute truth. In fact, you know him, you've had him, you've been able to get to know him in over these years, I think 30 years or so. But he's been my personal friend in the ministry for somewhere between 45 and 50 years. And so we appreciate him and love him. And once again, so glad to be able to be here. I'm glad that Brother Held is taking us to Buffalo. And it's just a short trip. When I'm in the central part, we fly into Pittsburgh. And I ride from there for about 3 long hours with David Foote. My dear friend, and I've been helping direct him to Brother T-Rail, Terrell this week for him to tell David can tell him all his jokes. So, and for Brother Terrell, I honestly, it's good to see him again. I've not seen him in probably 20 years or so, and we knew him. When he was back helping his pastor, Brother Preston Moore, that I've also known for that length of time, like I said about Brother Donnie. And then and at that time, Brother Terrell was there and had not started pastoring yet. And so we go way back with him too. But thank you all. And we appreciate the privilege. I tell you, if I were the president of the United States, I'd be taking a less position than what I have here tonight as the Owen. It might be a good thing if I was. No, maybe not. But meaning there's nothing like being used of the Lord or being called and in the ministry. My life's verse is, for the which cause I suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and now am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Of course, that's 2 Timothy chapter number 1, verse number 12. And so thank you. Let's get right to the word where I can get through, and Brother Terrell will be coming on, and we look forward to that. Acts chapter number 27. We'll just read a few verses, maybe because we're going to be covering a number in the message itself. Let's stand, please, beginning with verse 1. And when it was determined that we should sail into Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius and a centurion of Augustus' band. And entering the ship of Adramadium, and we launched, and meaning to sail, by the coast of Asia, one Aristarchus and a Macedonian Thessalonica being with us. And the next day we launched at Sidon, and Julius courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go into his friends to refresh himself. And when we had launched from thence, we sailed under Cyprus because the winds were contrary. And when we had sailed over the sea of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, the city of Lycia, and there the centurion found a ship of Alexandria sailing unto Italy, and he put us therein. And when he had when we had sailed slowly many days, and scarce we were come over against Nidus, the wind not suffering us, we sailed under Crete over against Salmona, and hardly passing it, came into a place which is the fair havens, nigh whereunto was the city of Lycia. Now, when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them and said unto them, "Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading of the ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more a part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might obtain by Phoenicia and there to winter, which is a haven of Crete, and lieth toward the south, west, and northwest. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroquadon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Claudia, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps, ungirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, strake sail, and so were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with the tempest, the next day they lightened the ship, and the third day we were cast out with our own hands, the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. We'll stop our reading there, and like I said, we'll catch some more verses as we move along. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that as we come to open your word and to preach your word, and Lord, to come to this place where for us preachers and maybe many others tonight is a familiar passage that we've opened and heard and preached and read. But tonight, Lord, may you give us something fresh. May you encourage our hearts as we see this wonderful account that will keep us keeping on and again encourage us to stick by the stuff, and Lord, be faithful and just keep going on for you, Lord, in the cause of Christ, and faithful to our calling, and loyal to our church and churches, Lord, and the importance of all that. And I pray, Lord, that you just have your way now. Touch me and help me. I sure need that. I always need that. I need that tonight. Help me now and just bless and move and speak to us and through us, to all of us, Lord, that we'll be helped and that we'll be encouraged, that we'll see things that will speak to our hearts and make a difference by our being here tonight. We promise to give you all the honor and all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. There's so much that I can say. You may be seated. There's so much that I can say in the way of, about storms. And if I'm not mistaken, I think and you probably have archives, but 3 or 4 years ago when I was here last, I remember what I preached, but also that night, and Brother Jerry Smith was here, and Brother Foote had preached in the afternoon as well. Brother Donnie preached that night and preached about storms, if I recall. But the Bible has so much to say. Now, this particular chapter in the Word of God is the most detailed account and lengthy, especially in the New Testament. I mean, you got to just about go to the birth of Christ or the crucifixion of Christ in Luke 23 or John 19 that really is lengthy and got a lot of details. Well, there's a lot of details that's happening and going on here concerning the storm. And there's just a lot in there, too, that we can glean from and get from as we think about some types and typology, if you please. But for a little bit, we just want to preach the Lord to help us to stay with the ship. Stay with the ship. It's the old gospel ship, amen. We sing in our place, "I feel like traveling on." We're on the old gospel ship. We're on the ship of Zion, amen. We think about Ship Ahoy. We think about a number of different place songs, and what some blessed songs and thoughts. But in chapter number 27, it tells of Paul's experience on board the ship from Crete to Rome. Now the ship. I've been preaching about this a little bit all week and more yesterday about the church. I'm so burdened and so concerned and been pastoring for a good number of years, not nearly as many as some of these guys in here are certainly preaching as long, but been at it quite a while and pastoring a while. And we're just really concerned in these days concerning the church. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And a lot of concern about that and burden about, where it's at and where it's going and just a number of things. But the ship is a type of the church. And, of course, her captain is who? Her captain is Jesus. There's two certain things. Every ship will encounter storms. Every ship will encounter storms. Now, while it's about the church, of course, we preach and we can and we can apply and talk about even storms for us individually, can't we? And oftentimes we do. And I'm sure we'll do some of that too. But every ship will encounter storms. Someone has said that you've either been in one, you're in one now, or just coming out of one, or soon be in another or something. That's right. And we understand that from what the Word of God says on a spiritual basis for sure. But there's two things. Every ship will encounter storms, but also our captain, as in this case, can calm the storm, or indeed, more often we see take us through the storm. Aren't you glad? And we see that here. Even if he has to walk on the water. I'm glad that we have a captain like the Lord Jesus. We heard so well this afternoon of what our feelings should be about him, and none like him, and and none exceeding, nothing exceeding what our feelings and thoughts should be for him because of the great things he has done for us. But what was true with this ship is true with the church. And first of all, in verse number 2, we see the launching of the ship. The church was launched by the Lord Jesus. Now, I'm not going to get into something here, but I will just throw out for you. Who knows? I oftentimes think that, well, you'll never go back or something like that. If I get to come, that'd be great. And if not, I'll pray for you. But I'm glad the Bible teaches. I read in the Bible that it was the Lord Jesus Christ who started the church. And I see from the scripture that he started the church during his earthly ministry. I see the church empowered on the day of Pentecost that was already in existence with our Lord's in our Lord's ministry. Throw that out. That's that. But I'm telling you that that what we're saying is the church by all means was launched by the Lord Jesus. And then we see the landing of the church. A ship, verse number 44, all on board landed, the Bible says. In John chapter 6, verse number 39, the Bible says, "And this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day." So what was true with this ship was true with the church, the launching and the landing of the ship. I'm glad that one day she's going to land on the other side. Amen. That's what's so good about the storm situation that we read in the Gospels where the disciples and the Lord was on the ship, and the Bible said there came up a storm. Jesus had told them, he said, "Listen, get on board, boys. We're going over to the other side." Amen. And I'm glad that I can report on the old ship of Zion, no matter what storms may come, no matter what rough seas we may encounter, we're going over to the other side. Aren't you glad of that? What was true with the crew was true with the church. Several times they thought the ship was doomed because of the storm. The Bible says in verse 20 that all hope that she should be saved was taken away. I mean, this is a rough storm. You know, storms are bad on land, let alone no ship is big enough for a typhoon, hurricane, a tremendous storm. No ship is big enough for that. I'm telling you, you may have been on some where you've been on some rough stuff, or maybe you've been in through storms. We as Georgia people and me as a Floridian, I've been through a lot of hurricanes, and we've had some stuff recently, and they're no fun. And it can get real rough, and you can get some real anxiety, and if you're not careful, just really get scared. You know, when that freight train sound is outside and looks like maybe coming your way. But anyhow, it's a rough thing out there. And the Bible said that all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. So they tried to save themselves, the Bible said in verse 30, by getting in some smaller boats. But Paul said this. He said, "Except these abide, except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved." Listen, there's no time to jump ship. There's no time of getting off. There's no time to try to find alternate, temporary, failing, not going to happen, not going to work, getting off of the ship. Just stay with the ship tonight. Amen. These guys have stayed with the ship. This pastor stayed with the ship. We're still aboard, and we're pressing on and going to the other side, even in spite of all the storms and everything else. The Bible says that Paul said you got to stay. They got to stay on board in the ship, or you cannot be saved. And so he's not talking about salvation here, salvation from hell. He's talking about salvation from the storm, isn't he? And but I want you to see just two things tonight. Number one, Paul had reasons to leave the ship. He had reasons to leave the ship himself from the onset. First of all, he had a crew that would not listen. He had a crew that would not listen. You know anything about that? You ever tried to tell somebody something? You ever tried to warn some people something? Be it your child or your co-worker, your neighbor or something, and they would not listen? Sure you have. Or may I go the direction, pastors, where we have tried to warn and tell our folks and would not listen and determine it seemed to go their own way? How many storms do people run into because they will not listen to wise instructions? Amen. Paul said, you really shouldn't go. Man, we need to stay in. Let's don't do this. Wise instructions. Good counsel. You know, and by all means, always, about everything, all the time. See, that's so simple. How many times? Now listen, we got to be transparent. We got to be honest. That's the only way we can ever get any help. But something that you might say is simple here. Do you look in God's Word and go to God's Word every time before you make a major decision? Well, if you don't, you should. Amen. And we should seek the Lord and seek good counsel. And by all means, when we have some of that even about us, we're surrounded with some good stuff like that. And young people, we could say there's a few in here, you need to listen up. You need to pay attention. Don't be a hard head. Don't be a know-it-all. Listen to what you're told. Amen. The Lord puts people in our lives and in the church and all these places to help us. And so they wouldn't listen. You know, what does he know about this? Wise instruction, church members, partners, children, even preachers themselves. The church is increasingly reluctant, by the way, to hear the word of God. Increasingly reluctant to hearing the word of God. Have a verse for that? For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, the Bible says. The last verse, I believe it is, in the book of Judges, chapter 21, verse number 25, the Bible says what? Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Amen. So he had a crew that wouldn't listen. He had a crew that would not listen. He had a storm that would not ease up. I'm telling you, as they launched and they went out, did it get better or did it get worse? It got worse, didn't it? It sure did. Well, may I say to you, I'm not an alarmist. I'm not a prophet of doom. I'm not a pessimist. You know, call whatever you want to, but listen to me. I shouldn't probably have to convince you that, and the Bible tells us that it will wax worse and worse. Amen. I really didn't miss hearing the news this week. I could catch a little on my phone, but I hadn't seen the TV. I haven't listened to a bit of news on television and everything. You know, I get real kind of tired, as you do too, of hearing them eat Trump morning, afternoon, and night. And it's all bad. You know, everything you hear, it's so bad. Well, the fact of the business, it is getting worse and worse. I wish I could tell you that in our churches, I wish I could tell you that the rule was that we're doing well and we're moving forward and great things are being done. This is only the exception and not the rule. If you don't know because you've got a good place and a good pastor and it's doing well and you're moving forward and doing some good things and what have you. Now, that would be hearing from you. We could talk, Brother Alcus and I could, and with us, and we could talk and be some other kind of discussion because we're just not seeing things like we once did. Brother Foote talked about, you know, and challenged our heart. God's word so wonderful today. About soul winning and everything, and I'm telling you, it really helped me. It spoke to my heart, as well as the message from that Brother Donnie preached. I'm telling you, they were just uh, they were just wonderful and so good. But we're concerned about where we're at and things, and it's getting worse as the storm would not ease up. The Bible said in verse number 20, it says, "And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us," the Bible says, and that place verse that said is that the verse? The end of the verse says, you know, that all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. Now the place where we said we just let her drive. That's a dangerous thing, but David got it. But wasn't funny, preacher. Well, it was to me. But we let her drive, and all hope was taken away. But we want to see the storm did not ease up. It only got worse. And how many, you know? And truthfully, we're not tired. We're not tired. Of the way, but we're getting tired in the way because of the storms and what's going on. You see, in addition to the flesh, and the world and the devil, in ministry and even on our own lives, there's three primary things that we deal with all the time that tend to stand against us. And that's, first of all, problems and pressure and people. Problems, pressure, and people. Paul wrote in Acts, and he said, "None of these things move me." And that's the attitude we have to get. And that's how we have to do, and that's what was going on here. And matter of fact, he's a central character, as we'll talk more about him in just a little bit here. But we're persecuted at home and at work by the lost. We're tempted on every side by the demons of hell. We're constantly pulled at by the world. Paul writes to Timothy, says, "And yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus, that will live godly in Christ Jesus," what's the next word? "Shall." I think that word was talked about a night or two ago that talked about the coming of the Lord when he said, "I shall come again." I mean, it's very strong and very emphatic. It says that all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. There was a crew that would not listen. There was a storm that would not ease up. And then there was a cargo that became unimportant. A cargo that became unimportant. Verse number 18, "And we being exceedingly tossed with tempest, the next day they lightened the ship." They thought that would help. They thought that would make it easier. You see, that just depends on what you're getting rid of.
Right.
Amen? And unfortunately, in our day, and what we see often, even in the lives and families of God's people, they get rid of the things they should keep, and they keep things they should get rid of. Amen. But very important cargo. They thought it would be easier. There's a brand of religion that says, "Make it easier, lighten up. Don't be so narrow-minded." You know. We're faced today with preachers and churches in the prayer room. This pastor prayed something about this kind of subject. We're faced with preachers and churches that say we don't need this old-time religion anymore. Amen? Well, I'm telling you, we don't need this newfangled stuff, that's for sure. And what the old-time stuff is the only thing that's really made a difference. Amen? This new stuff's not working. It won't work because it's contrary to God's word. It's not truthful. What they did here, the Bible said they began to throw some things overboard. You know, like doctrines and Bible and birth and blood and blessed hope. Amen? Discipline overboard, they're throwing over. Separation and standards and convictions. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And oftentimes, even folks that will be going through great storms, Brother Donnie, and they need to, that's when they need the Lord the most, and that's when they lead the church the most. But those are the things that they forsake and they get away from first. And more often, so much. And so, a cargo that became unimportant. And then a direction that became lost. The Bible said in verse number 20, chartered their course by the sun and the stars. The church has but just one chart to sail by. Amen? Just one. Just one chart. And one chart for our lives. It's this blessed book. Amen? Hey, listen. It's a light in our path, a lamp in our feet. It's this one word. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Amen. It's God's word. And we need to, you know, down home I say this and talk about this, and I'll put it this way here. You know, we have this statement among independent fundamental Baptists that we say this. We say that this book is our faith in practice. Well, let's practice it then. Amen. Let's practice. If it's the final authority, let's keep it that. And it is, by the way. It's all that. But so often we see that these things are thrown overboard, and we're not sticking with the ship, and we're not, because we're not sticking with the book, and there's no direction. No wonder churches are off course. Paul wouldn't leave. He took down the mainsail. He said, we let her drive. Time will come when all you can do, but it's absolutely the best thing we can do. And that is just stay with the ship and trust the Lord. Amen? Trust the Lord. Number one was that Paul had reasons to leave. But let's see. Lastly, Paul had reasons to stay with the ship. He had reasons. And the first of all, because of the presence of God. Amen. The Bible says in verse number 23, for there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. Amen. I like that whom I serve. But I'm going to tell you, I like more that whose I am. Amen. I am His, and I do serve Him, and I'm grateful, and it's a blessed privilege, and thank God for being in the Lord's army and service. But I'm telling you more than that. It is the greatest thing that about you and I, and that verse and that statement is who we belong to. Amen. Right. Who we belong to, and that's He said, "Whose I am," and whom I serve. Paul could hardly wait to tell. When Paul couldn't find the Lord on the radar, the Lord had him zeroed in and found Paul on His. Amen. The old preacher said, when you can't track the Lord, you just trust Him. Amen. Right. Just trust Him. I keep getting to hear because there's a song. And I'm not fixing to sing. I'm not a singer. But I wanna, if it's still there. When the storms of life are raging, stand by me. When the storms of life are raging, stand by me. When the world is tossing me like a ship upon the sea, thou who rulest wind and water, stand by me. In the midst of tribulation, stand by me. In the midst of tribulation, stand by me. When the host of hell assail and my strength begins to fail, thou who never lost a battle, stand by me. In the midst of persecution, stand by me. In the midst of persecution, stand by me. When my foes in the battle array undertake to stop my way, thou who saved Paul and Silas, stand by me. When I'm growing old and feeble, stand by me. When I'm growing old and feeble, stand by me. When my life becomes a burden and I'm nearing chilly Jordan, Oh, thou lily of the valley, stand by me. Paul said this night, fellas, he stood by me. He stood by me, and he told me that we were going to be all right, and that no life was going to be lost, and we were going to be safe. He told me that, the Bible says. But we not only see the presence of God, but we see the purpose of God. We see where that for the reason that Paul stayed. He said, thou must be brought before Caesar. Thou must be brought before Caesar. The overruling providence of God. I love to talk about and think about the providence of God. You know it? You know what I'm talking about? God's providence. It was Christmas in message. I was thinking about where the Bible says in the book of Matthew. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. This is how it was. This is how it happened, and it begins to unfold and tell us. We all know the story and what have you. But what was so amazing, of course, hundreds and thousands of years ago about the. How the Lord said that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. They didn't live in Bethlehem. They didn't live in Bethlehem. Besides already what had providentially happened, and that's what I did with this. I was talking about that tree that we saw at that church. Man, I just went all through the scripture all the way back and came all the way through, you know, through the genealogy of Jesus and how the Lord worked providentially. Hey, listen. I believe in that, don't you? The Word of God teaches us well for such a time as this, and how the Lord works, and how the Lord moves, and how the Lord orchestrates. So Joseph and Mary's got to get to both Bethlehem. They live in Nazareth. She's 9 months pregnant. She's big with child and fishing to deliver her, and that's not going to happen. Or how's that going to be? Or how they're going to get there? Or why is it they're even going to have to go to begin with? Because there was a man by the name of Caesar Augustus. Amen. And the Lord moved and providentially moved. And he's providentially moving in this storm. And he providentially moves in your life and mine. He providentially moves in the life of the church. He sure does. In spite of the crew. In spite of the storm. In spite of the cargo. In spite of the direction. The Bible says, God be for us, who can be against us? The Bible says we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. The Bible says that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. Amen. Right. We know that. Isaiah says, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. The prospects of God. The Bible said the shipmen deemed and they drew near some country. drew near some to a country. Deemed. That means that they begin to suspect. They begin to suspect. Suspicions that they were getting close to a country. Getting close to a country that they've never seen. We talk about being homesick for heaven. How can you be homesick for somewhere you've never been? But of course, by faith and by the Word of God. And we know tonight on January the 18th, 2019, that we're getting closer to this country all the time. Amen? We're getting closer and closer and closer. They deem some of God's people are getting suspicious that we're getting close to a celestial shore. Maybe they heard some sound. Maybe we're feeling some breeze, but we're getting close. Amen. Right. Whatever they did, three things, the Bible says. Number one, in verse 28, they found 20 fathoms. They sounded the bottom. 120 feet. And then they sounded it, and it was 15 fathoms, 90 feet. Some of God's people have been sounding the bottom lately. We've come to the conclusion that we're getting in shallow water. It seemed like years ago, Brother Foote, when I first started and when I was so much younger, you know, that it looked like it was so far away. But it's getting closer all the time. I'm telling you, I've sounded the bottom this evening. I can almost touch the bottom. I'm telling you, it's getting closer and closer. Anybody know what I'm talking about? All the time, stay with the ship. The Bible said they cast out four anchors, verse number 29. Thank God for the anchors of the church. Thank God for the things that he's given. Our anchor holds. Our anchor holds. And then they wish for the day. John on the Isle of Patmos, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Others tried to leave and jump ship. And there are those that are quitting and falling out and defecting and folks are in trouble and they're having struggles and difficulties and they're jumping ship. But tonight I want to tell you in closing and what it's been all about, best I could, to tell you, stay on the ship. Amen. Stay on the ship as the Apostle Paul did. And realize that it's getting close. No time, not a time to leave the ship, especially in the midst of the storms. And lead the very one that will and has and again will get us through every storm. Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, I've done my best. I pray that you'd help now and that you'd move. Lord, I trust that you'll take what's been said and speak to other hearts like it has mine. And Lord, may we be helped and realize the importance from God's word in Acts chapter 27 and your beloved Paul, Lord, the Bible said he spent a long time and it was in prayer and praying to you and looking to you. He was in the midst of an awful situation, and lots of folks are, and situations and circumstances that are just terrible. Unless something happens, they're not going to make it, and unless they continue to look to you and trust you, they're not going to make it. But Lord, you're in control, and you're on the throne, and there's not anything that you can't do. And Lord, we know that, and we do what the writer of the Proverbs says, that we trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not to our own understanding. In all our ways acknowledge you, the Bible said, and you'll direct our paths. So help us tonight, I pray. Thank you for your word. Maybe there'll be those that would want to come and just pray and ask for help and strength, and preachers and pastors to not throw over the important stuff and not to compromise or conform, or like so many round about us do, are, including in our own ranks. We know that. And so, Lord, we pray that you'd help us all in this church continue, Lord, to stay on course and follow the direction of this King James Bible and just continue, Lord, to keep on keeping on. And no matter what comes, in spite of all the difficulties and all the things that may come, Lord, we know that you're the captain and you're in control. And we look to you, Lord, and know that you're going to do what you did for Paul and take us over. 276, not a one life that was lost. All were taken to the other side safely. And we praise you and thank you that. Now bless the rest of the service. Bless Brother Hopkins and use him and continue to bless all the singing. And Lord, may you speak to our hearts. We love you and thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.